Today, I feel that longing and love, godly love, for my brothers and sisters. And it is a blessing. We all come to crossroads in life where some cold hard facts to face. And what Christ did for us is, words are almost inadequate to express, but it is our way of communicating. And that one song, Christ died because he loved us sinners. If we let that sink into our hearts and realize how perfect, first of all, we need to observe and look at God, righteous, holy, all the minute things he does in creation, and wherever we look, it is power beyond our imagination. And that in itself humbles us. Christ loved us so he knew we could not save ourselves under any line of works or doing and not doing. It was saved by grace through faith. And we still carry on day by day, week by week. And when we worship him and praise him, it reveals day by day. Job. Oh, that last chapter of Job, where Job looked at God and he seen vehemently who he was, and he looked back at himself and he said, "I abhor myself." I'm but dust and ashes. And that parable that Jesus gave when he was here of the Pharisee and the publican going to the temple to pray, that is precious to me. Many times in life when you feel humbled, let down, whatever, rejected, and I think of that prayer, that publican, he's felt the same way as Job, not worth it to lift his eyes. And he was honored. And when you look at the Matthew 5, the very first verses of the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I think that publican was poor in spirit. And he basically, a mathematical equation there. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Reading through the whole book of Sermon on the Mount is a Christ-like obligation asked of his people. And it is a very minute and precise, just to make the example clear, what I'm trying to get across is, if there is any hate amongst brothers, it is the same as murder. That's the way he pointed it out. If you look unto a woman to lust after her, it's adultery. So there's no room. That's the kingdom of Christ. He set his standards very high. And with that in mind, when we think of living perfect life. I don't think there's anyone here that would even dare to say he's living a perfect life. But it's not our fault. We are in the kingdom of this world. We live in the kingdom of this world. And it is full of strife, hate, revenge, shame, lust of power, on and on. Kingdom of this world. But tonight we want to take part in communion. And I rejoice. I truly rejoice that I can come with the way I feel today. It's simply a blessing. There is in 1 Corinthians 11 there and 26, 25. We'll start at 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I would like to express my own. I did not come last time, not because I did not long to, but I felt unworthy. I took my heart to court again and again, and it was filled with bitterness, murder, whatever you want to put into it. And I was alone in tears, and I confess I did not know what to do. I came, as we know, indecision is as detrimental as sin. I came to the absolute conclusion what I was going to do, and I did it. I went and visited my brother, and we ironed it out. And today I feel a whole sight different. Yes, I pray that's where it comes from. That's where it all goes. That's why I feel so connected again. And this verse, these two verses there that I just read, I could not partake last time, but this time. Now, for 50 years, 45 years, I went to church. Twice a year, we went over Matthew 18, and it was the tradition, the formality, whatever you want to call it. At times it was monotonous, at times it was rewarding, all depends how you felt. I'm not saying it wasn't good to do it twice a year. Since I'm here, I cannot recall I've ever heard it, but it has been reflected to again and again. That is a fact, and I undertake to go through it somewhat. It was kind of a self-examination. Scripture is what I came out over the years, and that's still so. I'd like to start at Matthew 17, verse 24. There's an interesting fact there about tribute money. And when they were come to Capernaum, They that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, I take it that they came into Capernaum, and they were asking for tribute money, if Christ would give it. And he said, Yes. Peter answered, Doth not your master pay tribute? Yes, it does. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him from following him in and saying, What thinkest thou, Peter, Simeon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom to tribute, or tribute of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. I take it the children of those that collected the tribute money did not have to pay, but strangers did. And then Jesus answered there, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, nevertheless, lest we should offend them. He did not want to offend those that were collecting taxes at that moment in time. Go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. And this piece of money, according to this written here in the book, is only $1.76. But what really struck out to me was so that they would not be offended. He took in those small, minute things, he did not want to offend his people. And where does that put us? And then another thing that really stood out, it doesn't say a thing about Peter doubting and wondering, wherever do I go fishing? He was a fisherman by heart. And he went, apparently without any explanation, he went and caught his first fish, and I presume he took it. Took that money out of the fish's mouth. That faith there, that trust in our Savior, I think stands out. And it appears to me he did it like a little child, as it goes on. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. A little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there's quite a list of places to look up. But I have again and again through life observed families, especially young families, the first child. It's so vivid. The parents want to do everything they can. Well, it's all the way through. Any godly parent. But that child is absolutely dependent on the parents. It is a phrase. When I tell it that way to the young parents, it's a phrase. Absolutely dependent on the parents. And that's the way he is expressing this. We must be to Christ. Day by day, going through our warfare in this world of, in the kingdom of this world. It is simply. And parents who long after Christ and God and godly virtues and this, whatever, the children detected very early, very, very early. There's some could be some misunderstanding and how early, but it varies too, of course. But humbling, again, humble is, God loves a humble and contrite spirit. And that is something we always want to keep in mind. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one of such little child in my name receiveth me. I guess those two verses I can just say, take it as it says. Humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. That verse where it says, what you do unto the least you did unto me. Christ said that somewhere else. That's a precious verse to keep in mind as we go through life, meet different circumstances, different people. And it's amazing what it does to someone that's going through a hard struggle. And I experienced it myself in the last 4 years. Keep sorting life. But it is amazing. The face brightens when you do just a little bit. Whatever it may be. Just remembrance is a wonderful thing. Consideration. Compassion. It is the kingdom of Christ. Those things done in the spirit of Christ and spirit of God are not the kingdom of this world. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. These little ones, I take it almost that from this verse that it's the little ones in faith. These little children, what he was talking about before, in my mind I don't think understood anything about salvation. So, if we take it as that, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, in Christ, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Basically, it is eternal damnation. If we offend a young, struggling soul, trying to sort through the maze of life, where he is connected to his family, and somebody mocks, offends him, hurts him in verbal whatever, it is not a good thing to do. It's about as clear as I can explain it. It is far better to gently, lovingly coach any young person trying to find his and sorting his way in this life of, it's a continuous thing for us older people too, sorting. And verse 7, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses cometh. There's not, repentance will correct it again. That is always there. True repentance. And that includes going to the person that was offended or vice versa. There's two different scriptures that are say that we can go both ways to try and reconcile, correct? And it is important. It is very important. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. It's going over it again, not to offend. Yet not that route of kingdom of the world. Take the route of kingdom of Christ. Love, patience, listening ears many, many times. A wonderful healer. Just if you can get somebody to talk, which I have likely neglected many times over the years, just simply let him talk himself out in whatever and not admonish, not the word slips me, not criticize, not come down on him. It's simply, I can explain it better when you go to prayer. Praying to Christ. You're all alone, which is required to be alone at times. Alone at home in the closet. Basically alone with God and just put into words what the deep crevices of the heart longs or craves. And it's just soothing to put it in words. And the same principle of talking to somebody does the same thing. To put it in words, kindly, listeningly, understanding, interacting as a godly. That's what Christ did again and again. My mind slips just now as to where I could reflect to. But those are Christ's kingdom, those that desire to do that. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. That's a typical picture of someone straying away from the flock. Sheep do that sometimes, and a shepherd notices that and goes after them. Of course, this particular thing is in the sense of shepherd and sheep, but it goes to all of us. Brothers and sisters in faith. It simply goes to all of us to tenderly, gently explain what's happening. And it is a life of experience, a life of trial and error for that, to know where, how to do it. In that sense, in that statement, I've often longed over the years to be with someone with experience and listen different ways how they do it, but I had to learn it myself. I'm not saying I even learned it, but it is something I can't see why it wouldn't be beneficial to take someone along that longs to have that expertise or that teaching how to really go about, because first hand witness first-hand experience is priceless. If you can see it from somebody else, is saving embarrassment, saving offending. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's where I stand today. And there's one thing I'd like to, and I might put myself out on a limb doing it. Yes, I feel very satisfied and content and longing to exchange feed washing, eat bread and wine with you, whoever. But this forgiving and being offended, that's done. But there is a time of growing and reconnecting, a phase in there. I don't think it just comes overnight and that's pit-pat done. I don't find it that way. If somebody knows the recipe how to completely do that, there's sores. Take a wound, any wound. It takes time to heal. Once it's healed, the scar's there, but you can't erase it. It takes more time to erase that scar. That's the tendency of that connecting. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, then in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. That's another phase for another desperate effort to reconnect. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Here, this morning, I loved this Bible study we had the last 2 weeks. It was so much. It was priceless. But this here subject, I wish I could get it together. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall know. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And in there is this one thing that can so easily come into play. I'll tell you an experience, or a story I heard, I should say, maybe. There was a certain man that had deeply offended, was in trouble. He had a character of a little bit of a strenuous kind. And he knew he had offended somebody. And he apologized. He repented from it. And there was a group, it was through this church circle by then. And there was a group of church circles around there that could not totally accept his repentance. And they were bombarding him and kind of pressing him into a corner. And then one of the least of the group, quietly in the back, observing all this, said, "Are you trying to mold this person into what you want to be yourself?" He does not agree. That is not right. What you want to be yourself. You're putting a mold in there, and he needs time and coaching to adjust to what he had repented of. He needs to be accepted in some sense. It's a delicate, a very delicate setting there. But maybe that brings out what I'd like to see. It is very important not to get together and put him into the pond category or least. And I don't see that here, but I'm just trying to explain this when the church has to get involved. Because there is so often a very timid, he actually longs to do what is right. And he possibly has done lots of that over his life. But then maybe this once he stumbled and he way down deep, he regretted it immensely. And he longed to know, be connected again. And then it comes back to offending. It's simply Christ-like we need to be. Kind. Understanding. A father will not quickly do that to his sons. Unless he's not born again himself, maybe. Then, of course, it comes in a whole new realm. This next section here, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. At verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I guess I'll just bypass it. I'm not totally convinced in my mind where I stand on that. I've heard two different versions. And I've never been thoroughly convinced. But the next one. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That takes faith. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That we have quoted again and again. Then came Peter to him and said, this is a huge one. Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Most of us can quite readily say, I'm sure, seven times in a day. That's not too unbearable as life unfolds. But Jesus answered, saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. God help us. We need his help daily. It is simply that here again it exposes who we are as flesh and blood mankind. We are in bombarded between two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world, which is revenge, hate, merciless, all those things, or the kingdom of Christ, which is love. And that is very vivid. To really get the grasp of that, we need to again come back to what Christ did. He was up in paradise. He came down to this earth as man, born as man from a woman, went through the process of learning, and he had the power, as in the start there where he had sent Peter to catch a fish. He had the power to get that fish with a money in his mouth and Peter to get it right away. No, doesn't say there's a problem at all. And when they were out in the boat and the storm came up and he was back in the boat asleep, he wasn't worried at all. Didn't, by all appearance, didn't even care. And they woke him up Do you not know that we perish? Calm, be still. Storm, be still. And it was immediate calm. But he was the owner of the universe. So, trust again. Come back to this child. The way they trust that particular child, trust their parents. If they start in absolute love, tenderness, gentleness, it is a trust that's created immediately. Immediately as that child is born. No other way to go but to mother. Then it goes on, therefore in the kingdom of heaven, likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. In my book it says 52,800,000. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Released him. That 52,800,000. Now that, don't quote me on the figure because I'm reading what's in my Bible. We could get into dispute of what that means, but nevertheless, let's not go there. The fact is, Christ came to this earth because he loved us. Whosoever believes, repents and believes shall be saved. What a promise. And this is what's he is trying to glean to his disciples, those that were following him. And this is as we go through life, it is an ongoing thing. Again and again. No matter who we are. It's, as we get older, we notice it's in everybody. Simply. And then, the easier, the sooner, the faster we forgive. If it's nothing, dead sin, without going through a fine procedure, life is smoother, far smoother. But now he had this forgiven to him, this huge money, he had it forgiven. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest, which was $44. That's where we are. We had all this forgiven, and if we demand something from somebody that offends us and don't forgive him, then we come into the next category here. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? That's where we are. If we cannot forgive someone else, we have to reckon with God. And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Final statement. We all believe the Bible. We all believe Christ was here trying to come through. And I trust in every heart here there is that desire. And I can understand when times are hard and because circumstances all are different. It's simply life here on this earth. So my encouragement is keep on keeping on, because we have brothers and sisters. Praise God for that. There's love. There is love. I can testify of that in the last 3-4 years. Well, it's even before that, but that's what drew me. And then the experiences of my life, a new path I have never walked, I feel love from everyone. I'm talking of godly love. Forgiving love, mercy, understanding. Let's pass it on to each other. And I long after wine and bread. I was asked to preach a short sermon. I don't know if that was short or not, but there we are.